We were talking a few weeks ago, and you had kind of said it would be a great idea if everybody just on Christmas Day stayed in pajamas all day, and we ate all kinds of junk food, and we played board games, and we just kind of had time to hang out and invest time with our family. Is that still kind of what you're thinking?
Yeah, we're going to be doing all kinds of lazy and really fattening things, just enjoyable things, and I've bought all the junk food that everybody has requested. So we'll take a lot of pictures, and we'll just try to make this a memorable experience. And quite frankly, it is an opportunity for my husband and I and our children to practice resilience and to have perspective and gratitude over what we do still have in spite of our disappointment.
And, you know, you talked about resilience, you talked about gratitude, and I think those are excellent lessons, you know, for adults, but for children as well that we're going to learn. And that's what all of us can do is try to learn something about ourselves and our family through this process, right?
Absolutely. You know, because to me, resilience and gratitude are two of the most important life lessons. So, because life will be difficult for all of us in different ways and at different times. And developing the ability to experience disappointment, even real sadness and pain, and then to be able to cope with it in healthy ways is one of the most important lessons that I want to teach our children. You know, I spend a lot of my time teaching those lessons to adults, so it's much easier. They can actually develop a strong sense of resilience if they've seen it modeled by their parents and if they've practiced it in smaller ways as they have grown up.
So we talk a lot on the show about how we like to kind of pull the curtain back and be super honest with people. Before we came on the air, you were talking about how this conversation we're having and about to have is one of the most important ones you are ever going to do or ever have to prepare for the radio, because it's about handling grief and loss, which during the holidays can seem even more intense. And I think you said you're even a little bit nervous to talk about this and how it's going to come across this morning. So pulling the curtain back, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's nerve-wracking in a different way than just the jitters that I would normally get from being on live radio. You know, and I think that's because I have so much respect for grief. You know, I have sat with so many people, my own family and my friends included, who are experiencing an unimaginable amount of pain. So when I was preparing for our talk this morning, I just understood the magnitude of the topic, and I prayed that really my words would offer some comfort to those people who are hurting, and then also encourage those who are not hurting as much right now, not in the midst of like an acute pain or loss, that they would feel equipped and eager to reach out to those people who are. So, you know, so that they could understand how very easily they can be a vital support to other people.
So we talked a couple of weeks ago about how so many people, you know, were experiencing changes and loss due to COVID. But the holidays, and I know this personally, are a source of grief for a lot of people because, you know, it can be difficult, especially with loss and missing family members and stuff like that. So when you combine that normal grief, a holiday grief, with COVID, how can people deal with so much?
You know, I got so many messages last night in my inbox and on Facebook. People wrote in and said, talk about being alone at the holidays, and what should I do if I have a parent in the hospital? You know, it's so much more difficult. All those things are so much difficult when you have COVID looming and then even other compound stressors. I mean, we even have a term for it. We call it complicated grief. You know, when you lose a loved one and then you can't be with them to say goodbye, if their last wishes can't be honored, or if you can't have a funeral and grieve together, it can make that loss seem unreal and really difficult to even accept. Loved ones that are left behind can feel guilty about not being physically present for their loved one in their last moments. They can become really distressed about not having the traditional spiritual and religious rituals performed. And they can feel extremely isolated if they're unable to receive the in-person support that they need after the death.
You know, we kind of talked about this before we came on the air as well. We're going through a situation where my wife's grandparents, and we shared this on social media, some of it, you know, they're in the hospital right now battling COVID. And it's just wild that, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, we want to be able to be there with them. We want to be able to go and see them. We want to be able to take them stuff. And we're experiencing that right now. It's just something that you can't do. But what about the people out there who are not in the middle of grief? What can the rest of people do to support friends and loved ones who might be feeling some of that grief?
You know, if you are fortunate enough to not be struggling right now, it's a wonderful time to reach out to others who are hurting. And if you are struggling right now, it's a wonderful time to reach out to others who are hurting. You know, remember I said that pain is incompatible with doing for others. If even just for a few minutes of distraction, if you can force yourself to get out of your own head, to get out of your own pain, and do for others, pour into others, you will feel relief. And then the more that you can shift your focus, the more relief and joy that you can begin to feel. You know, so many people think if they bring up the loss that someone else has experienced, if they bring up, you know, the loss of your person or your home or your job, that somehow they'll remind the grieving person of their loss. But people who have experienced loss overwhelmingly say, it's already on my mind all the time. They want to talk about the pain or the person that they're longing for. So just asking, how are you? I know this must be a tough time for you right now. Just allowing them time and space to talk is one of the most compassionate and helpful things that you can do. You know, certainly if they don't want to share, that's fine. But just know that you have honored them and their loss by offering your time and your support if they do need you now or even later down the road.
So just honoring their loss and what it all means for them, their feelings over time, when they're going to, you know, eventually feel a little bit better or lighter. That's how we can actually contribute, is just to be there to listen, to talk, and to help them through it.
Yeah, you know, my mom told me a story when I was preparing for this show. She said that her grandmother lost a son who was hit by a drunk driver on his way home from the war at Christmas time.
Oh, my gosh.
And every year after that, even 50 years later, her grandmother would say, it just don't seem like Christmas without Edward. And, you know, this lady went on to raise children and grandchildren and have a life, but it just let me know that she never stopped grieving for her child.
Right.
And for those of you who have experienced a loss, I really hope that you find your own way to honor your loved one. Maybe write a love letter to them about the year, or buy another kid a pair of shoes they would have loved, or adopt a piece of highway or playground that meant something to them, or even start a yearly fundraiser in their honor. You know, I hope that you find a way to incorporate their memory in every holiday. I hope you sit your family down or send them a letter and tell them exactly what you need for them, from them. You know, maybe you want to have a ritual where everyone shares a story at the dinner table about that person, or you ask people to send you a picture and a story of that person. And I hope you take the time to really go for a walk or sit quietly with a cup of coffee or just allow yourself a really good cry and think about them and how special they were. And I hope that you can smile and find just a little bit of peace. You know, take so much care of yourself and be gentle and allow your feelings and your grief. How blessed that person was to have someone who loved them like you do. And if you don't know where or even how to begin to imagine a life without them, I hope that you will start by thinking, how would they want my life to be? What would bring honor to their memory? And then work from there. I hope you can find your own purpose in the loss that will sustain you and honor them.
Dr. Dana Watson on with us this morning from Families, Inc. I know that grief over loss of a loved one never leaves a person completely. It's always going to be there. It's always going to be there in your heart, in your mind, but I guess it changes over time, and it might start off as completely overwhelming, but maybe it starts to feel a little bit easier as time goes on, right?
Yeah, and I came across this analogy. It's online if anybody wants to look it up. I think it is such a good description of how grief is felt by so many people. So I thought I would share it with you just before we end.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So imagine that your life is a box, and the grief that you feel is a ball inside the box. And also in the box is a pain button.
Okay.
In the beginning, when the loss is really fresh and new, the grief that a lot of people feel is overwhelming and large. So the grief ball is so large, in fact, that every time they move the box, just going through their everyday life, the grief ball can't help but hit that pain button.
Right.
And the ball rattles around at random, and it hits the pain button every time. And this is how many people initially experience loss. You just can't control it, and you can't stop it. The pain just keeps coming pretty regularly, no matter what you do or no matter how much other people try to comfort you. The pain that a person experiences may feel just unrelenting and never-ending in the beginning.
Right.
Over time, however, the ball starts to shrink a bit on its own. So you still go through life, and the grief ball still rattles around in the box. But because the ball has gotten a little smaller, it hits the pain button just a little less often. You almost feel like you can go through most days without even having the pain button hit.
Right.
But when it does hit, it can be completely random and unexpected. You know, like when you see the person's name in your friends list, or you come across their favorite video or television show, the pain button still delivers the same amount of pain, no matter how large or small the ball is.
Right.
And as time passes, the ball continues to shrink, and with it, the grief for the loss that has been experienced. You know, most people never forget the loss they experienced, but over time, the ball becomes so small that it rarely hits the pain button. When it does, it is as painful and as hard to understand as it was the very first time that we felt it. But the frequency of the hit decreases significantly.
Right.
And this gives the person a little bit more time in between each hit. You know, the time that they can use to recover and feel normal again. And really, that time allows our hearts to heal and to begin to remember the person as they were in life. So grief is never experienced the same way for any two people. I read online that a woman wrote, some of the grief balls are bigger right now and some are smaller for different people. But it helps to know that grief does impact most of us in a way where the pain is super intense in the beginning, but the frequency, if not the intensity, of the pain will lessen over time.
Right.
You know, and it helps to know that most of us are walking through life right now with carrying our own grief, our own box with a grief ball of some size inside of it.
And I think it's important to remember that, you know, we interact with others because they could be struggling with their own grief ball in the box, and maybe they're not even telling you about it. But if you're out there and you're listening right now and you're struggling or you're grieving and you need somebody to talk to, Families Inc. is always there offering services and, you know, a friendly ear to listen and help you through these issues. 870-933-6886 for Families Inc. Counseling Services. They have telehealth and in-person services available as well. And Dr. Dana Watson, we're very thankful that we get to spend so much time with you. We know that,
yes,
you know, you're busy helping other people. So the idea that you take time to come on here and talk to so many, we get messages from people who say, man, I really needed to hear that. And I think there's going to be a lot of people who hear what you said today about holiday grief. And I think it's going to maybe comfort them some, and it might encourage some people to reach out just to have somebody to talk to.
It's wonderful to be with you. Have a wonderful holiday season, a Merry Christmas, and I look forward to hearing from all of you in the new year.
All right, there you go. Dr. Dana Watson, Families Inc. Counseling Services on the K-Fine Breakfast Club, which is powered by Families Inc.